This time every afternoon we have some sound advice for you, generally trying to be helpful for you. And today we're talking all things tech with Fevzi Turkout, the gadget detective. He's happy to help you with tech queries via Twitter. He's at Gadget Detective, or you can find him on his website, gadgetdetective.com. So we're going to talk about a couple of gadgets today, and also changes to the terms and conditions at WhatsApp, which is an app a lot of us use. I got, who do I have on mine? There's a group for my wider family. There's a lot of us. So that's quite handy for organising, in normal times, Christmas and things. There's my lot and my sister's lot in Worthing. We keep in contact like that. There's one for my big kids and us. So yeah, handy app WhatsApp, but what's changing? Fevzi's with us now. Hi, Fevzi.
Hello there.
Hi there. Good to speak to you this afternoon. So yeah, what's happening in WhatsApp then? T's and C's.
So WhatsApp, which is wholly owned by Facebook, last year announced that it was going to make changes to its terms and conditions and that everyone would have to accept it by a particular date. People's response for that, because the change in terms and conditions on the face of it, although there was some confusion, seemed to mean that more information of WhatsApp users would be passed to Facebook. Spoiler alert, there's already a lot that goes to Facebook.
Why didn't that surprise me when you said that?
Well, this story is a little bit funny to me, to be honest with you, because if you were really that worried about your privacy, you wouldn't be using Facebook or WhatsApp. But it seems that people had, got a wake-up call from these terms and conditions, and a whole bunch of them went across to alternative apps called Signal and Telegram, which exist on both Android and Apple's iOS system. Mm-hmm. And those two, their unique selling point is that they're proper private, and they're not interested in your comings and goings, as it were. Because although WhatsApp doesn't, we're told it's end-to-end encryption, we have to take their word for that they can't listen to the calls or look at the contents of the messages, but they have all of what's called the metadata, all the data around it, which is, for example, when you made the call, where you were when you made it, and it's, if you think that sort of data is not very important, I'll put it to you this way. Imagine that someone goes to a hospital, they're there for 2 or 3 hours, they come home, and at one in the morning they ring their mother. It's a long phone call. Then we look at the location, we realize it was an oncology department within the hospital that they visited, because we can be that accurate. You can work out what's going on. Or let's say there's a husband and wife, they cohabit. The wife's phone seems to leave every Friday afternoon and come back on Monday. She goes to work. Then another phone comes into the house over the weekend, stays overnight, and,
What use is that to the owners of these platforms? What do they do with that?
Well, as far as Facebook is concerned, it's about targeting advertising. And interestingly enough, one of their competitors tried to take out advertising on Instagram, which is also wholly owned by Facebook. And they bought adverts where the sole contents of the adverts were that it would tell the person seeing the advert what it is that Facebook and Instagram knew about them. Their sexual orientation, the fact that they like to dress up in drag, whatever it was, where they were, all the rest of it. And guess what? They were stopped from running those ads.
Right.
So it's all right to target people. You just mustn't tell them that you're able to target them and what information you have on them.
I see. For those that use WhatsApp, though, are these terms and conditions what so onerous that people are leaving or just accepting them anyway because the thing is, lots of other people are on WhatsApp as well. So it's about being on a platform where most people are that you can want to contact.
Absolutely. And I spend probably 5 minutes a day on average explaining to people why I'm not on WhatsApp and why I'm not going to be on WhatsApp. So, it's a significant problem because they've got the critical mass. You see, in the past, these sorts of services were utilities, and they weren't necessarily, in private hands where the business model is. Because we're not customers with these services, we're not paying for them. We are more, I would say, we're more akin to raw materials Yeah, they scrape the data off us and they bundle it up into a package and they sell it. You know, we're more akin to a raw material than a customer, and that's how we get treated. On the plus side, we still, although we're not in the European Union, when we left, we enshrined GDPR privacy regulations into English law. And that gives us a degree of protection. We're certainly better off than, say, people in the United States in terms of our privacy. But whether that will last, it's not clear, because now the legal systems may diverge.
Right. Finally, on the WhatsApp, how long before it doesn't enable you to use the app unless you agree to their new T's and C's?
Well, the deadline was 2 days ago.
Oh, right.
And it's interesting.
Well, I used it several times this morning. It's not a problem.
Well, yeah. So the original deadline was last year, and that came and went, and they said, oh, no, we'll extend it. Okay, because I think they're slightly rattled, which I must admit I quite like. And even now that the second deadline has come and gone, they're saying they're not going to delete anyone's account, but slowly you will lose functionality. So let's see. You know.
But what if I can't send a picture of my dinner to my sister? Oh, that'd be a tragedy, Fevzi.
Don't worry, I'll send a picture of my dinner. It'll be fine.
Okay, just out of interest, if you were going Signal or Telegram, which would you choose instead? Is there one?
I don't think there's much.
No?
Not necessarily. I just look at what your friends are on or what they're willing to sign up to, and that's you hit the nail on the head, isn't it? But I would trust those, and I would also say that even if you haven't got the gumption to get rid of your WhatsApp account, and I understand, then maybe take one of the others and try it, and maybe when you're planning the bank robbery, no, I'm joking, but when you're doing something that you really don't want tracked, then maybe use it for those more private communications.
Okay, Fevzi, thanks for that. A couple of gadgets you want to tell us about. I'm quite intrigued by the idea of a mug that keeps your drink at just the right temperature. Tell me more.
I know. I to be honest with you, I love this gadget, and it's a simple thing. It's called Ember, EMBER, as in, you know, something that glows.
As in dying ember, yes.
Yeah. And it's a temperature control mug, and it's very stylish. The one one you'll see in the pictures is a sort of matte black color. It looks like, you know, when those cars come in matte black, it looks kind of like that. It's got an app. Use the app to set what temperature you like to drink your drink at.
This is my dream. An app to control the temperature of my mug. Brilliant.
Well, yeah, and then you get notifications on your phone and on your smartwatch as well. To say your drink is now at the correct temperature. So what happens is you pour in, let's say you make, I don't know, a cappuccino, 85 degrees, but that's a bit too hot to drink. So you tell the app, you know what, I'd like to drink this when it's 62 degrees. And so you set that, and there's a little light on the base that sort of pulses slowly. And when it stops pulsing, then you know it's reached the peak temperature. But what's really good is what happens after that. You can have that drink in there for, let's say, an hour and 20 minutes, just running off the battery. So there's a battery in the base of this and a little heating element. Uh-huh. All of it's encapsulated. You don't see any of it. It looks like a normal mug, but it keeps the drink warm. And there is something quite bizarre about revisiting a drink that you've maybe forgotten about half an hour ago or an hour ago, and it's still perfect temperature. And I know it's a small thing, but frankly, in these COVID days, I take sort of small pleasures where I can. And I think the one thing obviously I don't like about it is it's expensive. So there's two sizes of this. One retails is at 130 and the other one at 100. So
for a mug,
you might change your mind.
And also, I'm wondering how good a cup of tea still tastes when it's been kept warm for 70 minutes. If you get it in a flask, very good.
It doesn't. I think what happens is it's when they cool down and you reheat them and you stick them in the microwave or you top them up. That's when it all goes a bit pear shaped. I found it to be really good. And the other thing is the charger is the saucer, matching saucer, and you put it on the saucer. So the battery will last about an hour and 20 minutes. After that, your drink will go cold, unless you replace the cup on the saucer as you drink it, in which case all day.
But it's
great, because I'm fed up of either gulping down my drink lest it goes cold, or forgetting about it and having half a cup of a drink and I've been on the phone and I got distracted, and then it's ick. And then I go and microwave and it's not great.
Taste so good, yeah. I think that comes under the category of just because you can doesn't mean you should make something. But there you go.
Let me tell you one thing. There is a well-known retailer that you have to be a member of. Begins with cost, ends in co. Mm-hmm. There are other retailers. They do these. Every now and then I see them at sort of 60 quid-ish, which is still not cheap. But it's you know...
It's better than 130 or 100.
Yeah, okay. It is.
And then finally, a hybrid smartwatch that does everything apart from keep your coffee warm.
Yeah. So this is from a company called Withings, W-I-T-H-I-N-G-S. They're a French company. They were part of Nokia for a while. Nokia bought them and they became known as Nokia Medical. They decided they didn't like Nokia and they went their own way. And I think it's a good job too, because I don't know if it's because, you know, they're French and I'm stereotyping, but they make really stylish stuff, and their watches in particular, they don't look particularly like smartwatches. It's called a hybrid watch because it looks like a normal watch. It's got hands, physical hands that go round on it, and it just looks very, very nice. And yet it does some amazing things. So one thing is it will do pulse oximetry. So you might be familiar with those little devices that you clip onto your finger, mm-hmm. and it measures your oxygen level in your blood. And that's kind of interesting because, again, sort of going back to COVID, often people don't have a lot of symptoms, but one of the symptoms that they do have, an early warning sign, can be, although obviously other things can cause this, a drop in oxygen saturation levels. And we don't go around with these sort of bulldog clip devices to clip on our fingers, but having it on your wristwatch and checking it just every so often is not a bad thing to do. Then there is an electrocardiogram, so it will detect a condition called atrial fibrillation. Now, this is a condition that a lot of people don't know that they have. It's essentially a type of palpitation, it's very treatable. But if it goes undiagnosed and untreated, then that person's risk of heart attack and stroke can be up to 6 times that of the average. So about a third of strokes are from people who have atrial fibrillation. But if people know that they have it, again, there are treatments, and it's also a jolt to change lifestyle, because exercising, losing weight and sleeping are all things that help deal with atrial fibrillation. Heart scanning, if your heart goes too high or too low without you realizing it, perhaps overnight, mm-hmm. works well. Now, I noticed that the Apple Watch does some of these things, but the Apple Watch's charge will go for about maybe a day and a half.
Yeah, you don't wear it overnight.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Because if you wear it during the day and now you're wearing it at night because you're tracking your sleep, yeah, because you're looking for example, breathing disturbances, so things like sleep apnea. Again, people, particularly people who sleep alone, don't necessarily know they've got it. Sleep apnea is where a person stops breathing, periodically through the night, and it means their blood oxygen level dips. And again, it's associated with heart disease. People who have sleep apnea often develop atrial fibrillation. So this thing measures it. But the good thing about this is because it's not just a big screen, it's a conventional watch with a very small screen on it. The battery can last a number of weeks without needing a charge, which is far more practical if you're going to use it for sort of sleep monitoring as well as daytime use.
That's very handy. So it looks like a normal watch with all that going on in the background. Great stuff. Fevvy, thanks as always. And you're on Twitter at Gadget Detective or gadgetdetective.com if anybody else has questions. But thanks for those today. Good to speak to you.
Cheers.